bombs, and these are the stories of what it is that they had to do in order to survive. Welcome to The Awakening. This podcast is about telling the truth. Truth about what happens when religion harms, and truth about the courage it takes to heal. We'll be speaking with survivors who are reclaiming their voices and their lives. If you've ever felt silenced, shamed, or unseen in the name of faith, this space is for you. You are not alone. I'm your host, everyone, Heather Foy, and this is your co-host.
Tamara Buchanan,
Hello.
aka Jezebel. Hey.
We are so excited to be here with you guys today. This has been such a wonderful project for us to work on, hasn't it? Let's talk about it,
Yes,
team.
let's talk about it. This has been in the making since the day we met.
It absolutely has. And how did we meet?
Through TikTok.
Oh my gosh, the beloved TikTok, the app that everybody loves to hate, don't
And
they?
some of us love to love.
Yes, we do. And that's how we found each other, isn't it? Because we love to love the broken people of the world, don't we?
100%, including ourselves.
Exactly. And we are both survivors of religious trauma and abuse. So
Yes.
we decided that we wanted to start off our podcast a little differently than most people do. We wanted to take an opportunity to interview one another so you guys would get an opportunity to know who your hosts are. So, T, we're going to start with you. We want to talk
Go
about you. We want to know about your life. Let's find out how awesome and incredible you are. I want everybody to know what a wonderful person you are because I know what I see in you, so they need to see it too. So tell us a little bit about your life. What was your upbringing and early life like?
My upbringing in my early life, from about 4-ish till 27. I was raised in an apostolic Pentecostal church, and now looking back, I understand that I was raised as a Christian nationalist. So my first half of my life was about believing everything at the literal explanation of what the scriptures said. And I always believed and thought that that was absolutely the final word of God. When I say apostolic Pentecostal, it's not just like going to church once a week. We were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night. Friday night was youth group to get together. And Saturday was any time that the pastor may call for a special revival. So I was raised on the pews and the floors
Now,
of an
for
apostolic Pentecostal church.
some of the people that may be listening, you know, we
Yes.
both come from religious backgrounds, but they may not be familiar with what it is the apostolic movement is or what those beliefs look like. So, could you describe what some of those fundamental beliefs look like within that faith?
Sure. They are extremely rigid belief systems. They believe that God is first, then your pastor, then your husband or your fathers, then the women, and then the children. So, whatever the God says to the pastor brings it to the church, and the men of the church take it home and decide on how they want that to be incorporated into their daily life. We believed in holiness and godliness. No haircuts, no makeups, no radios, no TVs, no computers. We were raised that our dresses had to be 3 inches below our knees, and our sleeves had to cover our elbows, and our collarbones had to be covered at all times. If the women walked out of the house, we were required from the age of puberty that we identified with the Pentecostal bun on the back of our neck. And pantyhose and legs always had to be covered and closed in shoes, and it could never be the color red.
Whoa, wow.
So we were taught in detail about not only our personal life and how we looked regarding godliness, but then how we were supposed to act and conduct when we came to church, especially for the women in our organization. They did not have a voice. They were able to testify, They were not able to preach or not able to speak behind a pulpit. We were always pulled out a podium. Some churches now are much more liberal in those kind of stances. But I remember a scripture that says, "See and ask for the old ways, wherein is a good way. Few there be to find it." And I'm paraphrasing that scripture because that was our mantra of our church, that if it was a part of the old path, the old way of doing things, that is what we believed. Evidence of speaking in tongues, baptism in Jesus' name, and we did not believe in the Trinity. We believed in the oneness of the Godhead, and that means that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all the same person. So it's really a difference in the Pentecostal movement of whether you came from the oneness background or whether you believed in the Trinity background. And of course, like always, the oneness background were the only ones going to heaven.
So, what kind of culture did these beliefs create within your church and the families that were in church with you and in your own life? What kind of experiences did that create for you?
When I lived there and I was a part of the church, I did what everybody else did. I acted like the other women of the church. I participated in what was required. If a man was speaking, we were always taught to like give reverence. And by reverence, they mean that we put our head down just a little and our eyes never make full contact. We were taught to make sure that we respect the man because he is the king of the house. And if he treated you like a queen, it was because you were doing what you were supposed to as a godly wife. So with being raised in that, it was always our desires as young girls to be the best mama we could ever be, to be the most precious and desired wife, to be that Proverbs 32 and make sure that we acted and conducted ourselves accordingly. We were taught how to speak, how to serve, how to act, what to say, what not to say. And if all else failed and we had a question, then we knew that we had to take it to our husbands or go to the altar and believe and have faith that God would reveal your questions to you. But never were we allowed to ask questions out loud. So, in that kind of controlled environment, and I will refer to it as a high controlled religion, it is very important to know that women and children do not have a voice. We blanket train our babies at 6 months old, moving up. Blanket training may be news to some people who are listening, but that is when you put a pallet on the floor, and then every time that baby moves off that pallet, you immediately pick it up, you take them to the nursery, you spank them, you bring them back in, and you put them on the pallet. Because eventually it's a 4x4 blanket, and eventually that child never leaves that blanket. And if you put it into the broader sense of the world that we live in, that is exactly what they trained us to become. Whatever was inside the four walls of the church were the parameters of what was allowed, what was accepted, and what was expected from each one of us as we are part of the congregation.
So what happened when somebody stepped out of that binary or didn't, meet their expectations?
It could be as simple as one day I went to church and I had a blue jean skirt on. And back in the late 80s or no, the early 80s, the double belt was all a big deal. Like it was a double belt. So I bought a jean skirt. So I had to be working. So I was 16. I bought a jean skirt and the jean skirt had pockets on the back. And me and one of my friends from church bought the same jean skirts and bought the same belts, and we thought we were cool. And we went to church, and the pastor stood up, had his wife go get a pair of scissors. And because the skirt had pockets on the back, we were wearing men's apparel and we were wearing an outfit that pertaineth to a man. So we were up in front of the church. His wife cut the pockets off the back of each side of our blue jean skirts. And then we were allowed to wear them in the rest of the service. So it was moments like that that have left an everlasting impression on just my outviews and the indoctrination that incorporates. And you don't even know that That is part of indoctrination, but that is just one example.
So you were married and you had children within this movement. So what was that experience like being a wife that had no control, no power whatsoever, and being married to a man like that?
I will say that in the church that I was raised in, and I will not use the general brush because not all churches are like the one I was raised in. And if I can correct myself there and say cult, not church, in the cult that I was raised in, you are born to serve if you were a female. You were raised to be a mother and to be a wife. Quite a few of the women in our church dropped out of school at ninth grade and were married by the time they were 16. So they would start dating at 15 and they were married by 16. To make sure that control stays a prominent piece of the men's ideology and rhetoric that is being talked about every day. So we were raised and groomed to become all that we could be within the realms of motherhood, marriage, and being a wife and serving Jesus. So that didn't give a lot of time to make choices. The choices were always made for us. Yeah, I didn't choose my
So
first husband.
how did you escape? How did you get out? How did you wake up from all of that?
Honestly, to this day, I look back and I'm like, what made it to where me, out of all my friends, walked out? It had to be more than rebellion. It had to be more than just wanting my own way, because that's what I was always told. And it wasn't because I asked questions, but when I left the church, I realized I was raised to be, now looking back, abused and or abuse. And I married a guy that was at the approval of my dad and my pastor, and he was the most probably violent man I ever met. And it began with just simple things, pushing, shoving. And then there was many or more horrific things that happened. But I remember when I finally went to the pastor, because that's what we were taught to do. And I told the pastor everything that had been happening. On a Monday night, on a Tuesday night, I was brought up in front of the church, and everything that I had said was told to the congregation. And that night, I was told that I could take my children, sit on the back pew of the church, and until I asked forgiveness, that is where I could stay. And then I was told by the I told I was the women in the church were told that they were no longer allowed to speak to me, interact with me, help me in any way. And what people don't understand is like, okay, so you have family, you have other things. You have nothing except the individuals inside that church. That is it. So when I was shunned to the back of the church, I stayed there for another year and a half. Every time the doors were open, I tried to make sure that everybody knew I was following everything. And my last time in church, the pastor got up and said, from now on, any drug abuse, any sexual abuse, any domestic violence abuse, any incest abuse, any kind of word that can possibly end with abuse will be taken care of by the men of this church. And if the women of this church are not okay with that, as he's kind of walking down the aisle, obviously looking at me, he pointed to the door and he said, there's the door and don't ever come back. And I sat there through the rest of the service and I got done and I walked up to my mom and dad and I said, the same God of my childhood is not the same God I heard today. I will never be back. And that started my journey of deconstruction. Within 3 seconds that I walked through a doorstep, a threshold of a door, my life was forever changed.
And now, what does life look like for you after escaping?
For the longest time, I stayed silent, and it was extremely difficult because there was a part of me that knew I was out of God's will. There was a part of me that knew I wasn't doing what was right. And for the first several years, it was like every time something happened in my mind, it would say, "You're out of God's will. You're not in a oneness church. You're not in a godly, holy church with it, where it preaches holiness. You're not in a church that believes in the oneness of the Godhead, baptism in Jesus' name, speaking in tongues as evidence of your salvation." And then as I truly started deconstructing from other churches, I realized that things just did not make sense anymore, and that the God of my childhood was much more different than any of the gods that were being presented in any of the churches today. And when I realized that, there became common threads in every denomination that I visited, I just had to totally step away because it wasn't my authentic truth, and it wasn't anything that fit me or my children anymore.
So, if you had any advice or a word of wisdom for our listeners today, out of all of your wonderful life experiences, what would you share with them?
Trauma may define what I am, but trauma is not who I am. Today, the hardest thing to do is to find a new life out of a high-controlled religion. The hardest thing to develop is a new way of life because your very foundation is shattered the minute you leave. But I am here as standing proof that the harder you work at undoing the indoctrinations, the patriarchy, and the misogynistic ways that your high-controlled religion put into you, that much more work, and you can be free, and you can work on the healing process, knowing that you are no longer conformed to comply to the rules and regulations that patriarchy put over women in a day-to-day basis. And as I walk through my journey and I struggle with my journey, don't ever think that you are alone. We are out here. We are speaking up.
Yes, we
We
are.
are supporting you, and we are holding safe places, and we are not going to let patriarchy win.
No, definitely not.
Never.
That's why we're here talking today.
Absolutely. And the more awareness that we bring to this, and the more walks of life that are encouraged to join and participate in what we are doing,
Yes.
the more awareness we have, the less of a isolated incident all of
Yes.
us who have survived cults, high controlled religion, or just deconstructing from their childhood
Yes.
God will be at making sure that we are able to stand strong and stand tall wherever our journey has us today.
Yes, absolutely. How exciting. Okay,
So
it's my
exciting.
turn now, I guess.
It is Heather's turn. Heather, introduce yourself to the world.
Okay.
Give me your background, where you came from, what was it like, and how did it affect you as a child, teenager, and a young adult growing up under patriarchy? And let's start from
So,
there.
hello everybody. I'm Heather, and I am a Celtic Christian minister who works fluently in the deconstruction space. I focus a lot of my ministry towards helping people deconstruct from their harmful religious beliefs and find healing after they've left their religious spaces. Deconstruction was something that I would have never thought I would have landed in. And if you would have told me 10 years ago I would be sitting here recording this podcast right now, I'd probably laugh you in the face. I was raised on the front pew of my daddy's church. He was a Church of God pastor, a hellfire brimstone pastor. My Lord, one Sunday he was preaching so hard, his false teeth flew right out of his mouth and he had to catch them up real quick. And it's still one of my funniest and favorite memories of being in church with my daddy. The only problem is my daddy was a hate-filled preacher. He didn't preach the love of God. And, I was raised in the church. I was raised to believe in love. that Jesus was about peace and love and healing and hope. And the older I got and the more time I spent in religious spaces and operating in ministry, I started to see the real faces of Christianity, the real faces of the people behind the pulpit and the sermons and the worship songs. And what I started to see was a bunch of rotten sinners. I started to see a
Right.
bunch of people that, talk about love, but then they talk about harming their enemies that they don't like. And the hypocrisy became so great. And it got to the point where it broke my mind, literally broke my mind, because you cannot hold two realities at the same time. Eventually, something will break. And that's what happened to me. My mind completely shattered because I could not hold the goodness of God and the hatred of Christianity at the same time. They didn't fit. One cancels out the other. And love always wins. We know this. And love pulled
Always.
me out of the church because the church was telling me to hate the neighbors that Jesus told me to love. It was telling me to discriminate against the neighbors that Jesus told me to love. And when I left the church, it was at the time where they were just starting to argue about, Christians baking cakes for gay people. Okay. This was the time that I left the church because really, a cake is going to have you discriminating against somebody and calling them slurs. If that's the evidence of your Christianity, then I'm going to wash my hands of that because a cake is something that Jesus would have fed to those people,
Absolutely.
So, and when I started to deconstruct, then I started to see more things in my life. And when I started to see those things, I started to realize that my early life wasn't rainbows and butterflies like I had thought it was. In fact, my early childhood was wrought with abuse, so much abuse that I had glazed over it because within Christianity, they teach you to do something that's called spiritually bypassing. And that's where you give your abuser forgiveness, and then you push it down and act like that abuse never occurred in the first place. And then you're still supposed to love that abusive person because you're supposed to forgive all your enemies. The only problem is my abuser was my father. And I forgave my abuser and I loved my abuser and I cared for my abuser way more than my abuser ever cared for me. And it wasn't until I got older and saw my abuser engaging with my child in the same dialect that he engaged with me, and realizing that he was beginning to abuse her verbally in the same way he did me. And that was when I knew that that door had to be permanently closed. And after I closed that door in having conversations with my older sibling, it was when I was learned that not only was I verbally and mentally and emotionally abused by my father, I was also physically abused as well. It's just that the trauma was so freaking bad that my mind blocked it out and couldn't remember it. My brother, he was talking to me one day. He's writing a book about his own life and the trauma he experienced at the hands of my father. And he asked me, he said, "Do you remember the time that Dad threw you across the room?" "No, I don't recall that." "Well, he beat you too." And it's really hard to hear that from your sibling that experienced so much trauma and abuse. And I witnessed it and I tried to stop it. And I remember one time being shoved away by my father by trying to stop it. And all the cracks just fell away. Everything. The facade was gone, right? You cannot hide from it anymore. And when I was faced with the reality that I had an abusive father, an abusive God, an abusive church, my world fell apart. It did.
Yes.
Everything crashed. And deconstruction was hard for me. It was hard. It was lonely because when I first started deconstructing, there weren't all these spaces that we have available now. So I was on my own. I was really angry with God. I was really angry with the church. And deconstruction for me was realizing that I was not deconstructing from the God that I had come to love because the God that I knew was a God of love. I was deconstructing all the hypocrisy that had been taught to me by other people that didn't know the God of love. But that led me to this place. this place where I'm at now, where I'm running my mouth all the time, but I'm speaking truth to power because for 36 years of my life, I was lied to. I was lied to about my God. I was lied to about the world around me. I was lied to about my place and position in the world and how it is that I should move about the world. Like, you don't realize how much patriarchy robs from you. I didn't have a voice. And even though I wasn't in, the extreme situation that you were, I was told to keep my head low and my voice lower. I was allowed to speak as long as I was saying the right things. And patriarchal women don't understand. Yeah, you have a voice, but you only have a voice if you're saying what it is that they approve of you saying. You only have a voice if you're saying what they want you to say. Because the first time that you use your voice like I do and start stepping out and saying, hey, you need to love your neighbors instead of threatening to kill them, they want to silence you. They want to take your voice away. They want to threaten your life. Now, because you're not playing their game anymore. You're no longer a puppet following along with their rules. And that really has put a fire in me, is owning my power. Because I swear to God, 36 years I didn't have it. And it took me until I was 40 years old to be able to look in the mirror and say, hey, you're a pretty cool person. I like you. I was 40 years old before I could say I loved myself because the patriarchy had beat me down for years. And that is just, that's why I'm here. Because nobody should be beat down in the name of God or in the name of their faith and be told that they're absolutely worthless from the day that they were born. I just, whew.
And
And
if I can just interject and add on, there is not a timeline when that realization will come over you that you can love yourself.
no.
For me, I may have left and people would think, oh, you have it together. But do you know that it wasn't until a month ago that I could look in the mirror and honestly feel,
Yeah.
I love you?
And like I said, I left the church when I was 36, but I couldn't even say it until I was 40.
And I was 55.
Because it takes that long to undo that damage.
Right.
That's why
Because
we're here.
we say things like, they say, oh, I am enough. But when you're indoctrinated as much as most women are, there is always that slight bit of hesitation. And we flip two words and we say, am I enough?
Yep.
Am I what God wants? Am I being what my husband wants? Am I being a good wife? Am I being a good mother? Am I being a good sister, auntie, person in the church, other female friends? Am I?
Am I?
And it's really hard to say, I
Yes,
am.
I am. And you know what, listeners? You are enough too. You are enough. You've always been enough. You'll always be enough. And even if it's a day where you don't do nothing, you just have the energy to lay in your bed all day, you're still enough. Because your worth is not measured in what it is that you can produce or what it is that you can do for another human being. You have inherent value just as you are. So, yes, this is my story. It's messy, it's ugly. These stories are all going to be messy and ugly, but we're learning.
Organic and raw.
Yes, but we're learning and we are growing and we are healing together. We're healing loudly together.
Yes, we're healing out loud, and we are not going to quiet our passion,
No.
quiet anyone's voice, or make it to where anyone feels that their voice doesn't matter. Join us and make sure we
Yes.
come bring our voices together and show patriarchy that they no longer have the full say
They do not.
because we are fighting back.
And we are
And
rising.
Heather, what would you tell anyone deconstructing today, where you are today versus where you were when you left it at 37?
Now, listen, when I first left the church, I couldn't have told anybody anything because I didn't
Right.
have anything figured out. But the best thing I can tell anybody that has left the church is to seriously follow your heart. I tell people this all the time. Do whatever sets your soul on fire. That's what you were made for. That's what your purpose is. That's where you're going to find joy and peace and healing and happiness is follow your passions. Is your passion speaking on the internet? Then do that. If it's hiking, then go join a hiking group. If it's writing,
Writing.
join up with some writers. But whatever you are passionate about, link up with some people because that's your community. That's where you're going to find what you need to continue to propel yourself forward. But plug yourself in with somebody somewhere, even if it's the most random, obscure thing. I understand we all have various different interests and things that we're interested in, but find somewhere and plug yourself into something that really sets you on fire because it will change your life. That's why we're here today. Because we've plugged
And
ourselves
surround
in.
yourself, right, and surround yourself with people who are going to support your dream,
Yes.
cheer you on, be your loudest cheerleader, and know that at the end of the day, let's say it didn't work out, you
Yes.
have friends that you can fall back on,
Absolutely.
and you never, ever quit, and you learn how to live in this world. Live
Absolutely.
it. Breathe it, feel it, go out there and be who you want to be.
Yes, absolutely. All
And
right.
there will always be people like Heather and I that will support you 100% every day of the year.
Absolutely. We are definitely going to be here. Well, thank
We'll
you,
add a
everybody.
little balance from that patriarchy to the matriarchy.
You got it. The matriarchy is rising. And for that, we're going to call it a day. We love
Thanks,
y'all. Thank you
everybody.
so much for joining in and tuning in today. We are going to leave some links in the show notes so you can find our social media channels. And if you love this show, please hit that subscribe button and share this with your friends. And if you're interested in ever being on the podcast, please email us at theawakeningpod@gmail.com. We would love to have you on our show. Have a great day, everyone.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.